Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Camp Hot Mess by Bella Jewell, narrated by Tieran Wilder. Prologue.
Little dune buggy in the sand.
Sing that once more, and I'm going to come over there and fly kick you right in your pretty face, I warn, raising a finger to my sister who was skipping around me singing her version of dune buggy.
Little blue June buggy in my hand.
I launch at her, arms circling her waist as I pull her to the ground, our laughter trailing through the living room. She squeals with delight as she wiggles out from my grip and runs around, proceeding to sing the song I absolutely loathe.
She's been doing it since the moment she could talk, and not a single day goes by where she doesn't wake up and sing that song to me.
Seriously, Aspen, stop!
She skips off into the kitchen, her little voice trailing out as she continues with her song. When you look back on those moments, the ones where you don't know what's going to come next, you find yourself wondering if there were signs. Did you have an indication something would happen? Did you know? Did anything happen that day that made you suspect your entire world would be turned upside down? I know I didn't. I wish I could go back and call my sister back in.
I wish I could take her hand and skip around the room with her like I used to when I was younger, singing that song at the top of my lungs as we laughed and danced.
I would do anything to hear her voice fill our house with that song just one more time. I didn't know. I didn't know that she would run outside, so wrapped up in her own little world that she wouldn't see the drunk drivers swerving down our street. I didn't know that she would collide with that car. I didn't know that her life, her short, beautiful life, would end right there. I didn't know. If I had known, would I have changed that day? Could I have changed it? Or is that the whole purpose of life? You can't change a path that has already been mapped out. You can only choose how you pave the rest of the way. I'd do anything to change that day. But I couldn't, no matter how hard I tried.
Chapter 1. Years Later.
Hey, lady, wake up.
I opened my eyes, the world spinning around me as I look up into what must be the entirety of my spank bank, all wrapped into one gorgeous piece of man. I mean, words can't describe what I'm looking at right now, which makes me wonder if I'm dreaming. Am I dreaming? I don't even know where I am. Did he kidnap me? I can't say I'd be sad if he did.
Hell, I'd probably welcome it.
Imagine being tortured by this fine specimen. Am I dead? I ask, rubbing a hand over my face. God, I'm drunk. I'm so drunk. I didn't realize it at first, but now, my head is spinning and my entire body feels foreign to me. I can't feel my legs, which is both scaring and weird. What the ever-loving hell did I do?
You're not dead, but you will be if you stay out here any longer.
Out here? Where the hell is here? I squint, looking up at Prince Charming again. Care to tell me where here is? He looks a mixture of horrified and impressed as he stares at me, eyes narrowed, lips slightly pursed.
Fuck me. How much did you drink?
What a stupid question. Well, if I knew, I wouldn't be here, would I? He exhales, reaching down and carefully pulling me to my feet. It's then I realize I was on the ground, in the dirt, out in the freezing cold. My head pounds as I get to my feet, and even though I try my hardest, my body does not want to do what I'm asking of it, and I find myself clinging to the hot stranger who is currently taking all my body weight.
You're at a retreat, remember?
Oh, shit. I remember all right.
We are on a month-long retreat, this one for mothers. There are 8 of us, and we're all quite different and mostly perfect strangers. But boy, did we drink some wine on the trip here. I literally don't remember a single thing after that. My memory is completely blank, and that's more than a little terrifying. I haven't had that much to drink since I was a teenager and could handle the hangover the day after. I already know what this is going to do to me tomorrow, and I'm not looking forward to it. At all.
Right, I murmur. I guess we made it then.
Hot Rancher stares at me, his eyes narrowing as he looks down.
You don't remember a fucking thing, do you?
This is the moment when you know what he's about to say is going to horrify you and make you feel shame on a level so deep you'll wish you were buried in a hole.
Why do I have a feeling you're about to tell me some pretty horrific stories? I grunt.
I'll leave that to your friends. They sent me to find you.
Friends? I don't know anyone here.
They're not my friends. I don't even know them.
Well, better get to know them. You've got a month of time to spend with them.
I grunt and take a few wobbly steps as he tries to lead me toward what appears to be some cabins in the distance.
You're a mom?
He asks me as we slowly walk.
Obviously, dude.
I didn't come here to pretend to be one. That shit takes strength. A strength you don't have by pretending. Moms are warriors. And I feel like his question is more a judgment than anything.
Why do I feel like you're judging me?
He snorts. Not judging you. I'm just asking a question.
Yes, I'm a mom. My, ex sent me on this retreat. Apparently I needed it.
I call bullshit. He just wanted time with our son.
How old is your son?
He's 7.
Nice.
I didn't even ask your name, I mumble. Sorry. What's your name, cowboy?
He stops, dead in his track, and his voice comes out like a whip.
Call me cowboy again, and the only name you'll remember is the Holy Lord as I tan your fucking ass.
I pause and look up at him, a sly grin on my face. Hit a nerve, did I? His face is stony. I lose the grin.
Fine. I won't call you cowboy again. Give me a name and I might have something better to call you, yes?
Lorenzo. You can call me Enzo. But we've been through this already, Juniper.
Oh, crap.
I don't even want to know what I may or may not have said to this man.
So we're well acquainted then?
Not so much, but you sure made a strong first impression.
God, I don't even want to know.
I'm not even going to ask what I have said or done while under the influence. You can keep that in your book of secrets, yes?
Noted.
We reach the cabin, and I look up, admiring the quaint beauty of it. It sits in a line with some others, backed by mountains and trees. It is beautifully made, with exceptional wooden craftsmanship that is to be admired. It looks cozy and comfortable, and I can't wait to get inside and find the bed.
This is something,
I murmur, stumbling a little as we go up the front stairs. We reach the patio, and the door swings open, and out pops the bubbliest, bounciest, brightest woman I've ever seen in my life. She looks like a little pixie, with short dark hair, striking green eyes, a tiny build, and the biggest smile I've ever seen in my life. She is incredibly alert for the time of the night we're currently in, and she looks like she's about to hug me, which is terrifying. There you are, Junie, she cries. Gosh, I was so worried about you. I'm sorry, Junie? Junie? Who the hell is this woman? I stare at her. She rushes forward, throwing her arms around me. I knew it. I knew she was going to hug me. Oh, thank you so much, Lorenzo. What a strong and capable man you are. I was so worried about her. You're really a lifesaver.
Enzo releases me, but I latch on, hanging onto his arm before turning and whisper hissing,
Who is this woman? You can't leave me here.
He smirks. This is your cabin mate, Faye.
Cabin mate?
As in, we're staying together for a whole month? No. I thought we would be on our own. No. Help!
Come on, silly, Faye cries, tugging my arm. We'll get you some tea and put you to bed. We've had a big day. My gosh, I haven't had so much fun in so long. This is going to be great. Bring her in, Enzo.
I look up at Enzo, still clinging to his arm.
You cannot send me inside with her. There must be another cabin, somewhere, anywhere.
He grins. And oh boy, he really is something else. Under the porch light, I can see him so much clearer. There is something so incredibly masculine about his features. And don't get me started on his incredible looks. Long, dark hair that curls at the base of his neck, olive skin, a body covered in tattoos, muscles that seem to have no end, and that scar in his eyebrow that goes down to his top lip makes him look dangerous. I like my men dangerous, and it has always gotten me into trouble.
You two were bonding great earlier.
Listen, Enzo, I don't know if you care, but let me tell you a little something about myself. I don't do people. I only came on this retreat because I had to. I'm awkward, antisocial, and I don't do bubbly. She's terrifying. You can't leave me here.
Come on, Junie. I've got your tea ready, Faye calls.
Enzo's grin gets wider.
Then maybe she'll be good for you. Enjoy your night, Junie.
I swear to God, if you leave me here...
He pries my hand from his arm and forces me to take a step back. I sway a little on my feet, but mostly I'm trying to stop myself from lunging at him and hugging him like a monkey so he can't leave me here. People like Faye terrify me because they're way too high energy, and I simply don't know how to handle people like that.
Have a good night, sweetheart,
he murmurs, turning toward the steps.
Come on! I'll do anything! Just don't leave me here! Please,
I call out. He looks back over his shoulder.
Daddy has to go.
I blink. He grins. Then he's gone.
Daddy?
Oh, God. Why is he saying that? Faye's laugh has me spinning around.
He's never going to let you live that down. It was so funny.
What was so funny? I cry, frustrated.
You don't remember? When he got here, you walked right up to him and called him Daddy. It was hilarious.
Oh, no.
No. Sweet Mother of Mercy. What the hell is wrong with me? Wakey, wakey. The sun is shining. The world is spinning. Let's go.
I open my eyes to see Faye looking down at me with a bright smile on her face and a cup of coffee in her hand. My curtains are open, and the sunlight is shining right into my face, burning my eyes. I sit up, groaning as I do, the pounding in my head reminding me of the massive day we had. I press a hand to my face, exhaling, and then I look to Faye.
Listen, Faye. I'm sure you're a nice person and all, but I'm going to tell you something about me. I don't do bubbly people. Hell, I don't do people at all most days. No offense, but you're way too happy for me.
She laughs.
Don't be silly. Everyone needs people. Come on, get up. We have adventures ahead.
I'm not getting up. I'm staying here all day.
No, you're not.
She reaches down and hauls my blankets off me, then flings them off the bed.
Breakfast is ready, and we're doing some swimming today.
Swimming? That could be nice. When I don't feel like I'm going to die.
I need you to be a little less excited, Faye, and leave the room so I can get up.
She puts the coffee down. Don't be long.
She leaves, and I groan, pressing my hands to my face before climbing out of bed and having a shower. I put my hair in plaited pigtails because I'm too lazy to do anything else. And then I dress in some denim shorts and a tank. I drink the coffee as we walk down toward the main house on the ranch. I don't remember a single damn thing about it. But as we nearer closer, I see a whole heap of gorgeous cowboys standing with the other ladies who came on this retreat with us. I don't know any of them. At least I don't remember any of them. I have no doubt yesterday I was best friends with them all. "Good morning," one of them says to me. "How are you feeling?" I stare at her. "Wonderful." She laughs. "You know how to have a good time. I'm envious." I must have made quite the scene.
"Good morning, ladies. My name is Rhett, and I'm the owner of Walker Hills. It's great to have you here. You're our second group, and we have a lot of fun things planned. My lovely lady Lay here is going to take you around and show you where everything is. Then she'll give you the week's itinerary. Nothing is mandatory. However, we highly recommend you involve yourself in as much as you can so you get the most out of your time away."
I make eye contact with Lay, the woman standing behind Rhett, who is, by the way, a freaking gorgeous man. She's small, curvy, and has the cutest face with these little glasses that make her look kind of nerdy. She's got a big smile, and she looks like she's more than ready for the next month. I vaguely remember someone telling me that she was from the first group to the ranch, and one of her members got murdered. It was in the papers, and it sure made for a juicy story. Even better that we can come here and find out more. I'm all for a great story. For now, though, I just want to go for a swim in hopes of removing this horrible headache so I can enjoy my day. I make a vow not to drink anymore while I'm here. Oh, who am I kidding? I'm going to be drinking later.
"We'll go over to the lake for breakfast," Lay tells the group. "We can go over everything there and enjoy a swim."
Then she proceeds to introduce us to all the men. All the very, very gorgeous men. Enzo, who I'm already familiar with and am making certain I don't have any eye contact with him after finding out what I said to him when I first arrived. Then there is Lake, Dante, Elias, and Madden. They're something else entirely. It's like if you put them all in a line, there would be one for every woman's taste. Bad boys, playboys, lighter hair, darker hair. You name it, it's there.
"Let's go," Lay calls.
We all begin the walk toward the lake, and I trail behind the group, trying really hard not to make any conversation with them. Thankfully, they're all chatting away amongst themselves, and I'm grateful for that. I don't think I can handle too much chit-chat right now.
"How's the head?"
I glance beside me to see Enzo appear in my vision. He's walking along in those blue jeans, those boots, and, oh, that flannel rolled up to the elbows. God, he's gorgeous. Like I would climb that man like a tree without even a second thought. "Morning, Daddy," I murmur. "The head is fab." He grins. I grin too.
I might not like people a great deal, but a girl has a sense of humor.
"Guess, and your sarcasm means the head ain't fab. The lake will cure it. Always does for me."
"Is this where I tell you I can't swim?"
He pauses for a second, studying me, and then continues walking.
"I'll carry you."
Oh, my Prince Charming. Will you cradle me while I let the cool water wash over my head?
"You're being a smartass."
Not a question. I grin. "I'm never serious. You'll figure that out. I can swim just fine. Though I must admit, the idea of someone holding me in this state isn't a turnoff." He grunts.
"Can drown you just as easily, if you like."
I smile and keep facing straight ahead. "So, cowboy who hates being called cowboy, have you been on this ranch long?"
"Don't underestimate the actions I'll take if you call me cowboy again."
"You ride horses, do you not?" He glares at me. You live on a ranch?
Your point?
You're a cowboy.
I'm not a fucking cowboy. I'm a man working the land, not a fucking boy. There is a difference.
Yeah, okay. Cowman.
The drowning is becoming more and more tempting. I smirk. We keep walking.
Are you going to answer my question about the ranch? I ask.
Been here as long as I've been friends with Rhett, my home. Anything else you want to know?
Oh, yes, I'm very nosy. Have you got siblings?
No.
Parents still alive?
Yes.
How old are you?
For fuck's sake, why don't I write it all down so you can stick it on your wall?
That would be fab, thanks. He growls.
I'm 31.
I usually don't go for men that old, but I'll take one for the team. He stares at me again.
What makes you think I'm going to do anything with you?
I didn't come here for a massage. At least not a massage on my back, if you know what I'm saying. I wink at him.
Has anyone ever told you you've got a big mouth?
Oh, Daddy, yes. He grunts, but the smirk on his face tells me he's enjoying our little banter. So am I. I wouldn't say no to spending a month in Enzo's bed.
Hell, it has been so long since I've had a good hard fuck from a man, I'd happily take what's being offered from any one of these guys.
Slutty? Maybe. But when I'm home, I'm a mom, and that's my life. I came here to get away, to have a break, or so I'm told. So, I'll take what I can get. We arrive at the lake, and I pause and admire the utter beauty. It is big, filled with lush water and surrounded by grassy areas. A cafe is situated looking right over it, and I'm guessing that's where we get to eat some of our meals. There are sailing boats, kayaks, jet skis, and other water equipment near a little jetty that goes out onto the water. It's perfect. This place is perfect. Maybe I will like it here after all.
Chapter 2.
Isn't this place incredible? Faye asks, exhaling as she rubs a hand down her belly. Breakfast was out of this world good. Eggs, bacon, fruit, cereals, you name it, it was there.
We all ate way too much, and suddenly swimming doesn't seem so appealing.
But knowing we've got all day makes it a little more exciting. I'm feeling a lot better. My headache is eased, and my body feels a little less sore. Perhaps this isn't going to be so bad after all. I can't remember the last time I just enjoyed myself. Truly just let myself unwind and relax. It is nice, I admit. I can't wait to do all these activities. Alice, the other woman who was speaking to me this morning, says. I glance down at our list of activities for the week. It's action-packed, but that's how I like things to be. We've got hikes, kayaking, water sports, raft building, camping, and of course, some downtime.
How did you all enjoy your breakfast?
Lay asks, standing from her spot at the end of the table with all the guys.
Everyone sings their praises. And she proceeds to tell us that we can go back to our rooms and get changed, then spend the day by the lake if we wish.
A lunch will be served here at midday. We're also welcome to go and help out on the ranch, ride some horses, and go with the guys.
Lake or horses? What a choice! Faye claps happily. I can't decide!
Feel free to do both, Lay tells her. They're taking the horses out now for the morning jobs. You can come back and swim later.
Come with me,
Faye pleads, turning toward me. Horses. I mean, I've ridden a few in my time, but I'm not certain my stomach or head will handle being bounced around on a horse right now.
I don't think I have it in me to ride a horse today, I tell her. You can ride with me in the buggy,
Enzo pipes up from his spot. I look to him. A buggy does sound fun. And at least I can kick back. I am interested to see what it is they do here. I also wouldn't mind having that eye candy for a few hours. I'm in. We gather up our things, and I follow Enzo back to the main house and into the barn. He comes out with a buggy that looks incredibly fun. It is a two-seater, has a roof and roll bars, and it looks like it is made for ripping through dirt. This is my kind of fun, no doubt about it. I grin and climb in, taking the helmet he hands me. How hard are you going to ride this thing? I say, pulling the helmet on. He glances at me.
Fucking hard.
My fanny just did a little happy dance. Oh, yes, I'm getting a piece of Enzo while I'm here. No doubt about it. He climbs in beside me and then gives me a sly grin before slamming his foot down. The buggy launches forward, and a delighted scream leaves my lips as he flies down the paddocks. Joy fills me as we zip around, chasing cows and going down dirt roads to check fences. This is the kind of life I could have forever, no doubt in my mind. I would love to live on a ranch. I'm a country girl at heart. I always have been. Enzo pulls the buggy to a stop at a beautiful little river running through some thick woods. I pull the helmet off, heart racing, and turn to him. That was awesome.
You can ride at home.
I can? He nods. I happily cheer as I launch out of the buggy and rush down to the water, throwing my shoes off as I go. When I reach it, I dive in without thought. It's only when I hit the water that I realize how damned cold it is. Any ounce of pain my head was enduring is now gone because my brain is frozen and I'm going into some sort of shock. I come up squealing and hear Enzo's booming laugh filling the trees. I get out, shuddering, and he reaches into the buggy and hands me a shirt. I don't know who the shirt belongs to, and I don't really care. I rip my tank off and throw it on the ground before pulling the shirt on. It's dirty. I could be horrified, but I'm too cold to care.
You don't think much through, do you?
I glare at him, lips clamoring together.
We're coming into winter soon. It gets cold. Or don't you know that?
I'm going to kick you right in the balls soon, I stammer. He grins.
Come here, for Christ's sake.
He reaches for me, grabbing me and pulling me against him. For a minute, I freeze. Not because it doesn't feel nice, because, oh, it does. The man has muscles for days, and he's strong and warm. It's mostly because I realize I haven't been held by a man in quite some time. I take a moment to enjoy it, the smell of him, the feeling of him, all of it. Then I say, "You better let me go, cowman, or I'm going to do something wicked." He lets me go, his face blank.
What did I say about calling me that?
Yeah, I changed it up. Deal with it. He sits down on a rock, and I sit beside him, the shivering slowly subsiding.
Tell me about your son,
he asks. I smile, because I always smile thinking about my son. He's the light of my life. The absolute best thing that could have ever happened to me. I haven't always had it good in relationships. In fact, I've had it pretty hard. But Hudson sure as hell made it all worth it. His name is Hudson. He'd love it here. My God, he'd go crazy. He's the best kid anyone could ask for. What about you? Do you have kids?
No.
Do you want kids? He nods.
Someday. Are you and Hudson's dad close?
I grin at him. Are you asking because you want to take me right here by the river? He grunts.
In your wildest dreams, sweetheart.
I chuckle. We're not together anymore, but he's still very active in Hudson's life. I'm lucky, I guess, having someone to take care of my son. If only he knew just how lucky I really am.
Why did you come on this retreat?
I purse my lips. Well, to be honest, it wasn't my idea. I was basically forced. I suppose you could say life was getting a bit overwhelming.
Overwhelming how?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?